Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Saturday afternoon to you all, and welcome back to another Frat House Saturday here on Fan Junkies Radio. I am your host, Frat House Mike, and I want to thank everybody for joining me here today. And we premiered this show just 2 weeks ago, and the first thing I want to say is thanks to everybody who has tuned in over the past 2 weeks. We've had some tremendous number of listens going on. Over the past 2 weeks, tremendous number. I said it last week. I got to say it again. I've been humbled by how many people have tuned in, either live or archived. 2 weeks ago, we came to you here, interestingly enough, just as the NFL playoff season was beginning to kick off on the Saturday afternoon games, and that occurred again last week. And, well, what do we have today? But, hey, how about this one? Just moments ago, or at least within the next number of moments, anyhow, we're going to hear the puck dropping for the first time in the NHL season as 3 o'clock games kick off for the first time during the NHL shortened season. And depending on where you might live, you could be tuning in right now to the Pittsburgh Penguins playing at the Philadelphia Flyers, the Ottawa Senators playing at the Winnipeg Jets, or the Chicago Blackhawks playing at the Los Angeles Kings. As those are all 3 o'clock games, and a number of those are being covered live right now on NBC. Later on this evening, we have no less than, looks like about 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, looks like another 10 games then later on during the course of the day coming up. So we have an action-packed NHL schedule today, and you can expect that for the next 99 days as the teams are going to try to get themselves in 48 games in about 99 days. And so we've got ourselves another action-packed weekend of all kinds of sports action between the NHL and then, of course, then tomorrow we have the NFL. Momentarily here, I'm going to be bringing you our latest version of 5 Minutes at the Frat House, number 72. I'm going to be bringing you the audio side of that, as usual. And again, for those of you that perhaps might be new to this program, 5 Minutes at the Frat House is a video production, actually, that started 72 weeks ago, and we have not missed a single week since. And I want you to give that some thought for a couple of moments. Just think about that, 72 straight weeks. Think about doing something every week, once a week, for 72 straight weeks, and sticking to it. For those of you that haven't seen the show, you can get to it by going to our website, which is frathousesports.net. And all of, well, at least the past number, I'd say going back for almost about the past 20 shows, are currently housed over there. And yes, in fact, I made sure this morning that the one that you're going to hear right now is right now up on that website. It's frathousesports.net. It's also, however, you can go over, it's actually housed directly at YouTube, and you can go to YouTube, type in 5 Minutes at the Frat House, and you will get a listing of all of the different episodes we've done going back 72 straight weeks, along with some of the shorts that we've done, because we've actually done some other short productions as well, and those are all there together. There's about 90, there's actually about 90 videos that we have done in the 72 weeks. They are over at, again, over at YouTube, 5 Minutes at the Frat House, or if you type in the Frat House, you can find our channel, and the easiest thing to do there would be to just simply subscribe to it. Now, I point this out, and I say, you know, think about the fact it's 72 straight weeks, and when you hear it, of course, you've got myself, and then you've got my co-host, Sidekick, but then you must also understand that there, you know, we're not a big operation. We have two others who are on the staff who are behind the scenes who are handling the camera and handling the sounds, handling all the technical stuff, the lighting. And I want you to just keep in mind for a moment, this is not a full-time gig for any of us. This is simply a part-time thing that we pull together and do really for fun. And so when you hear the quality of it, which has gotten increasingly better over the number of weeks that we've been running it, it truly is in many respects remarkable, as I pointed out, that we've been on for 72 straight weeks, considering that this is not something we get paid to do. We're not getting any kind of compensation for it. It's just something we like to do. It's something that we consider to be fun to do, and we've made improvements on it as we've continued to go through the entire process and time of it. But I want you to just think about doing something as kind of a hobby for 72 straight weeks. It's a long time. Interestingly enough, too, one other thing I want to point out about the program is, and it was just brought to my attention again, and it's been brought to our attention before. It was brought to my attention again this morning over on our Facebook page. Yes, we do have a Facebook page. And please, please, please go over and like that. If you go, if you're on Facebook, you go to Facebook and search in the Frat House - Eagleville and like that. We post on that constantly. In fact, I put probably no less than maybe 6 posts up on that just today. All of them are sports related. They're nationally sports related. We're not, yes, of course, sometimes they're heavily favored in one particular team or another, but we try to be balanced and equal and cover all sports and all teams as circumstances and events arise. Yes, Facebook, the Frat House - Eagleville. But somebody wrote on our Facebook page just this morning. They were praising the program, the 5 minutes at the Frat House program. Really, really enjoy it, but then jokingly came back and made the comment to us, really, gents, 5 minutes at the Frat House, perhaps maybe you ought to reconsider the name in light of the fact that the program now runs almost about 30 minutes. And it's a funny thing he brings it up because we have discussed that, and some of you may be thinking it yourself. Well, where in the world? It's not 5 minutes. It's more like 30 minutes, and so why don't you just advertise it that way, and why don't you just present it accurately? It's not necessarily a situation of being accurate or not. One of the things I pointed out to the fan of ours on Facebook that made the comment was that when we first started these programs 72 weeks ago, the programs were quite a bit shorter in length. In fact, there was a number of them that were, 12, 11, some of them even closer to 10 minutes in length. And now it has grown and it's expanded and it's now, as I pointed out, generally about 30 minutes in length. And we kept the name for a short period of time, or at least up to this point, we've kept it simply because of the fact that we wanted to make sure that people recognized it and that there was name recognition to the program. That's not to say that at some point in the future, and I made the comment to our Facebook fan that it's very possible we may change the name, perhaps maybe as we near closer to our second anniversary or so, something in that area, we might actually change the name of it. But it is 5 minutes at the Frat House. That's what it is. But understand, when I run this, it's going to run for about 30 minutes. What did we cover this week in week 72? Well, look, obviously, we're starting to run down on the NFL season. I mean, we've only got 2 games this weekend. We won't have any games at all next weekend. And then that'll be the finale will come in 2 weeks with the Super Bowl. So what do we cover this week? Well, now we're kind of in that in-between stage where we have to start to kind of, gear up other types of sports. And so in this particular episode that you're going to hear, we kick it off actually talking a little bit of NASCAR. And I certainly hope that we do have some auto racing fans out there because we are big ones. We follow not only NASCAR, we follow NHRA, we follow motorcycle racing and we even throw in a little Indy every once in a while. But NASCAR and NHRA are the two big ones that we do actually follow. And we kicked off the show this week with a little bit of NASCAR chat because, in fact, we're just about 4 or 5 weeks away now from the beginning of the new NASCAR season down at the Daytona 500. And there's been some new vehicles unveiled for this coming season. And there's been some testing going on. And as I point out, we're just about, it's amazingly, we're just about 4 or 5 weeks away from that kicking off. We also go into, yes, I do go into a little bit on the NHL and the schedule that we were looking at. As I pointed out early at the top of the show, well they're going to try to pull off 48 games in 99 days, and that's a pretty grueling schedule. And one, you know, some of you might be wondering, well, how in fact is that all going to work out? And so we get into a little bit of description on that. The NBA is not one that we ignore. We certainly don't. But this seems to be the time of year when the NBA, as we near midseason, when it starts to get, you know, a little more competitive and a little more heated, and so therefore you're going to get a little bit of NBA information. We also had a bombshell kind of story drop this week regarding one outstanding collegiate player in Manti Te'o, who was the Heisman runner-up from Notre Dame. And so we have a little bit of discussion going on in this particular episode of 5 Minutes at the Frat House with regard to that. And then last but not least, Sidekick and I kick it off with, or ended up with, our picks for this week's NFL, AFC, and NFC championship games, with the San Francisco 49ers going to the Atlanta Falcons, and then the Baltimore Ravens going to the New England Patriots. Both of those games, as I pointed out, come up tomorrow on Sunday. And that is the basic format of the program. Now, this is a little more interactive than, as was pointed out in Sidekick, in this particular show, and you'll hear that near the end. The radio show here, the radio brief broadcast, is a little more interactive from the standpoint that I'm going to run the audio of this. If there's anything you hear during the course of it that you would care to make a comment about at the end of it or at any time at the conclusion, I'm going to hang on for a good 15 minutes or so at the conclusion of the rebroadcasting of the audio. I'm going to hang on for a good 15 minutes or so. If you have anything you want to talk about, anything at all, I don't care what sport it is, something perhaps we covered in the show, maybe something we didn't cover in the show, maybe there's just something on your mind you want to talk about, please feel free to give me a call at 347-237-5373. And if you want to call during the running of the rebroadcast, you may. Just be aware of the fact that I'll pick up your call once the rebroadcast has concluded. Again, the number is 347-237-5373. And anything you want to talk about there after the fact, I would be more than happy to chat with you. Alrighty. So at this point, let me introduce you to 5 Minutes at the Frat House, number 72.
Found us again here at 5 Minutes at the Frat House with Frat House Mike and Sidekick. And I got to tell you, I think we covered just about every single sport that there is possibly to cover this evening, Sidekick. As we begin our, can you believe this one, 72nd consecutive week on the air. Yeah, that's pretty, that's, I mean, think about that, 72 weeks in a row. That's pretty incredible.
No highlight shows, no.
Well, we've had many highlights, many highlights. Well, listen, I'm sure there'll be a couple coming out of this show before we're done.
Absolutely.
But we're going to start it off. We're going to start it off with something we haven't talked about in, I want to say a long time, but it hasn't been. It's just been a handful of weeks, and that's NASCAR. And it seems like we just crowned ourselves a new champion. Just a couple of weeks ago, wouldn't that be right?
Yeah.
You know, it occurred to me the other day, auto racers get about as much time off as college students do during the Christmas break. I mean, seriously, because just this past weekend, they had preseason practices going on and testing going on down in Daytona, Florida, as drivers unveiled their new designs, the new designs of the stock cars. Incredibly, it is hard to believe that we are just 37 days away now at this point from kicking off another NASCAR season on February 24th at the Daytona 500. It's got to be the longest season. I don't know. PGA really doesn't take much time off either, do they, though? Golf.
And really, if you think about it, really, you know, you have Homestead, Miami,
right,
the middle of November,
right,
and then you start up again in February. But the teams aren't really off
because
you're getting ready for the next season.
Well, look at all the – and we're going to see this in a moment. One of the things that really impressed me, and I did check in on some of the the preseason testing that was going on down there last week. One of the things that really impressed me is the new design of the vehicles. And I got to tell you, just watching some of the vehicles that were running around Daytona last week, it really got me hyped for a new season that's coming up. What do you think of this? What do you think of this new design?
I like the new cars. You know, it goes back kind of to the whole premise of NASCAR with being stock cars. You know, because it started out where they were taking regular cars off the road.
Right.
They were,
exactly,
fix them up, popping the engines up a little bit, and they were racing them.
Right.
And, then NASCAR got to a point where they let all the engineers in, and they weren't thinking about designs. Yeah, you had your Fusions and your Chevys and your Camrys, but they really weren't
right
like the stock cars that you and I buy on the street.
Right.
They were, just very aerodynamic and just had a name on them.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've gone back where they're actually designed like the car that you go into the dealership and buy, and I like that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I noticed, particularly at Daytona, because Daytona is renowned for its two- and three-car drafting going on, is how they have eliminated, virtually almost any spoiler off the rear side at all, which allowed for, it was almost impossible for some of these guys to hook up and do any of that kind of two-car tandem drafting going on at all. They were only able to do it for maybe about a half a lap and sometimes three-quarters of a lap. Now, I, for one, as a viewer, really don't like that kind of racing. I don't like it. To me, if the design is going to help in eliminating some of that, I'm all for it.
I'm not a real big fan of it. It can make it exciting at the end of races.
Right.
When you get that one guy that gets a little squirrely, and then you have the big one, and come on. We're all race, we're race fans. We tune into the race.
Right.
Part of it is watching the drivers race. The other part of it is just waiting for that big one to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Everybody's got a little bit of a, did you see that?
Yeah.
You get goosebumps sometimes when you see those accidents. So, I think they need to find a good mix.
Yeah.
So, and it'll be interesting to see as the season goes on as we start hitting some of these super speedway tracks.
Yeah.
As they feel out the new car, will they start doing more of this drafting? Or is it really the car set up so you can't, it kind of limits the drafting?
That's not going to be possible, right? All right, well, listen, before you know it, 37 days away, that's it. Before you know it, we're going to have NASCAR and NHRA, which I actually think kicks up even before then. Not to mention, Sidekicks NASCAR Fantasy Picks will be coming back. All right. Won't be long.
Going for three.
Alrighty, let's go touch on another sport, and I'm going to talk directly to you out there, folks, because I know I can't get Sidekick involved in this. I'm going to talk a little NHL, all right? And he's ignoring me now. I know that. That's fine. He's got his fingers in his ears, but I'm hoping you're listening, because we talked a bit about it last week, and we laughed a lot about the return of the NHL, about the return of NHL hockey after a 119-day lockout. And so after a very short week of training camp, actual regulation action will start up this Saturday under a shortened schedule. And how will that shortened schedule run? Well, it's going to be fast and furious, folks. I wanted to say sidekick. I'm not going to do that. As teams will play 48 games, they will play 48 games in 99 days. Now, here's how the schedule is going to run. Aspects of the schedule have the teams only playing within their conference, that is East versus East, West versus West. So we're never going to see an East-West matchup until, believe it or not, the Stanley Cup playoffs. Teams will play each one of their interdivision rivals five times. So, obviously, every game is going to count here in the point standings. They will play all other teams in their divisions of their conference three times. Now, the season will conclude on April 27th. playoffs will begin on Tuesday, April 30th, and the Stanley Cup will be awarded near the end of June. So, expect a very, very fast-moving number of days, 99 days, in the NHL, and we'll be bringing you results in our regular show 2 weeks from now. We'll be bringing you, well, listen, let me take the we out of there. I'll be bringing you the standings and the results as we go through the NHL season. You can take the cotton out of your ears now.
You done?
I'm done. Hey, let's go talk about another sport we haven't talked about since, June maybe? And that's the NBA. We are just about at the midpoint of the NBA season. So it's time for us to start taking a look at the divisional standings. And the Eastern Conference is looking quite a bit different this time this year than it did last year at this time under that lockout shortened season that we went through then. Let's take a look at the Eastern Conference real quick. Over in the Atlantic Division, you've got the New York Knicks up at the top with a 24-13 record. Central Division, the Indiana Pacers, who'd have thunk this, 24-16. They're playing quite well. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Southeast Division, well, you can never rule out the Miami Heat, 25-12.
Yep.
Over in the Western Conference, we've got the in the Northwest, you've got Oklahoma City. And in here, in the when you get into the Western Conference, it's believe it or not, every one of these teams are they're in exactly the same order as they were last year at the exactly the time. Oklahoma City Thunder are 31-8. That's a tremendous record. In fact, the best in the NBA. In the Pacific Division, we have an LA team, but it ain't the Lakers.
Nope.
As they are crumbling apart right before our very eyes, it is the LA Clippers who are 30-9. And in the Southwest, you've got the San Antonio Spurs, 30-11. It seems to me, and it's interesting, as I look this over, gosh, right now, it really looks like the strength is in the Western Conference. That's mm-hmm. really what it looks like to me. And we'll be bringing you up-to-date standings on the NBA again in 2 weeks. Keep saying 2 weeks. Well, you got to wait for the announcement at the end of this show. Okay. Well, listen, I kind of thought we needed to touch on this kind of a bombshell sort of story that broke yesterday. And, I don't know. Psychic, I made reference to it pre-show. Perhaps maybe we want to kind of reserve a little bit of judgment on this one until more information does actually become available. But just when I thought that it was safe not to have to talk about Notre Dame ever again, or at least for quite some time, a very twisted and bizarre story broke yesterday surrounding Heisman Trophy runner-up Manti Te'o, who gained a lot of media attention over the course of the season and playing at the level he did, after learning of the death of his grandmother and then 22-year-old Stanford girlfriend, who reportedly died of leukemia early on in Notre Dame season. Deadspin, however, yesterday broke a story that this alleged girlfriend relationship, which apparently was online only over Twitter and perhaps Facebook, and that the two had never actually met at all and dated back 3 years, back to 2009, was actually all a hoax. Apparently, Manti became, this is according to what the Notre Dame athletic director reported last night and according to what Deadspin reported also as well, became aware of the deception that he had been being hoaxed over Twitter and Facebook and over other social media. He had became aware of it by about mid-December of this past year, 2012. Mind you, that was after the Heisman announcement. Notre Dame apparently conducted their own private investigation, and the athletic director last evening held a rather hurried and frenzied emergency press conference to quickly address their activity in the matter and how the university, what the university's assessment of Te'o was. As bizarre as this story is, it leads one to a lot of question, Sidekick. And the immediate questions that I had, questions regarding, revolved around questions regarding things like the manipulation or potential manipulation regarding the awarding of the Heisman Trophy. And then, obviously, the subsequent potential draft position of a defensive standout like Manti Te'o, who at one point was ranked in the top five, could have possibly gone somewhere between number one and number five in the first round of the NFL draft. Now, in the most recent mock draft that I took a look at, following the BCS championship where Notre Dame lost, Manti Te'o's numbers had actually dropped to somewhere between 10 and 15. But nonetheless, that's a pretty good draft position. One has to wonder whether, in fact, perhaps maybe there was some purposeful, and again, I'm reserving judgment, folks, purposeful manipulation here with this particular story in an effort to try to influence perhaps the Heisman Trophy Award or even just the positioning of Manti Te'o in the draft. As I said, we've kind of want to reserve judgment on it. I think there's more information to come. Manti Te'o is scheduled to actually address at some point or another, address some of these allegations. We're not quite sure exactly how that's going to go. Perhaps maybe in the next day or two. What is your reaction to this bizarre one?
Well, you know, the story came out, and I thought, okay, this is going to be just a short story.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just rolled. And, you know, it. The story in the story, I think, for this is, goes back to what we've talked about many times about integrity in media and things like that.
Yep.
You know, everybody hears about Manti Te'o's girlfriend passing away on the same day as his grandmother and things like that. No one ever looked into, backed up these stories. We've gotten in such a fast-paced society where everything, news has to be instant.
Yep.
We've done away with fact-checking,
yep,
and we've, you know, done stuff. You know, and it's been replaced with sensational headlines.
Yep.
And what's going to grab viewers. And, you know, I mean, this is breaking the same news that Lance Armstrong,
yep,
is admitting,
yep,
that he doped and that he knows where all the bodies are buried,
mm-hmm,
and that it's going to come out that the International Cycling Union and possibly USA Cycling has been bribed to hide these failed drug tests.
Mm-hmm.
And this story is overshadowing that, which is, I think, is a much bigger story. To go back to the integrity, you know, media, we need to stick to facts, unless it's an op-ed kind of article. And we do our best. You know, we poke
Thank
some
you.
Fun, you know.
Thank you.
You know, but let's not judge people. Let's not, you know, let's hear the facts, report the facts. You know, Deadspin was putting on, you know, had actually had a quote that they interviewed a friend of Manti Te'o.
Yep.
And that his friend was 80% sure,
yeah,
that he was
in on it,
participating,
yep,
and trying to, you know, influence publicity in his favor. That's hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were in a court, that's hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the whole crux of their article is based on this, and now everybody's taking this as gospel. They're running with it, and now all of a sudden you have all these stories of he was in, you know, there was collusion for him to win the Heisman Trophy.
It goes both ways, though, Sidekick. I mean, as you're pointing out, Deadspin's article is based upon hearsay, but however, at the same time, nobody was checking the facts on the front end as the stories were coming down to begin with. In other words,
well,
as Manti Te'o was releasing this kind of information, or as the information was becoming available to outlets like Sports Illustrated and CBS Sports, nobody,
yep,
was doing the kind of background checking to find out.
No, exactly. No,
so it goes both ways. I mean, it's
no,
not
absolutely.
Just Deadspin, it's also on the front end as well.
Yeah.
I mean, in some respects, you've got to give Deadspin, well, I understand what you're saying, you got to give them a little bit of credit for, in fact, breaking the story. And Notre Dame, in fact, confirmed it by immediately having a press conference last evening. So, in
right.
fact, they gave validity to the fact that Deadspin was, well, maybe perhaps running with a little bit of hearsay information, as you point out. They were, in fact, accurate in their reporting.
Right.
Who was not accurate in their reporting was CBS Sports and Sports Illustrated and the South Bend Courier, who was running with these stories right out of the Notre Dame area. Hmm. So I hear what you're saying. You're absolutely right, and I made that comment with regard to media integrity. And you know, I appreciate what you're saying, because I want it understood here that one of the things that Sidekick and I say, and look, we're running a little mom and pop, you know, sports right. talk, weekly sports talk program here.
Yeah, we don't have our own investigative unit.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we have to go with.
And if you think that this is a $1 million budget here, we'll just look around. But the bottom line is, make no mistake, how many times Sidekick and I ourselves have had conversations where we say, well, wait a minute, I don't know if we really want to state it that way. I don't know if we want to actually put it out to our fan base stating this when we don't have all the facts.
Right.
And integrity is a big, big part. When you've got control of the airwaves, as we know them today, mm-hmm. and they're really not airwaves, but when you've got control of that, that is major, major influence. It seems to me somebody here knew they had control of some influence.
Right.
And I think we're going to probably find out over the course of the next number of days, perhaps maybe weeks, more obviously is going to come of this story, and we'll be bringing you future updates on it as they become available. There's still a lot of questions, ultimately, that have to be answered. But it's without a doubt one of the strangest stories.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I mean, this whole idea, we talked a little bit pre-show of this catfish thing with these online relationships and things like that. It's, you know, it's really, you know, sometimes very, you know, deer in the headlight, you know, pulling mm-hmm. you in to some of these stories about, you know, how can this person be mm-hmm. involved in a serious relationship
mm-hmm.
with someone and have never met this person
never
for years. And it's only been talking on the phone or through Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you come to find out that they're not, who, you know, like the show where you see these people.
Yeah.
And they meet each other and it's just out of the blue. You're totally taken, you know.
Yeah.
They're, you know, where it's not even, you know, it's a person that's the opposite sex, like, you know, it, you know, a guy dating a girl, come to find out it's actually a guy on the other
side,
or vice versa, or, you know.
Well, it's all this, really, all this, you know, cloaking and what have you that goes on, you know, which is so easy to do when you're behind a computer screen. But the fact is, we're going to get, I mean, I suppose it's very possible that somebody like Manti Te'o was completely duped. I suppose that is possible. We're talking about young people today who have been raised with this stuff, unlike you and I, where perhaps maybe we're a little bit more guarded. There's still, though, a lot of questions if you go back and take a look at that Deadspin article. And I'm sure we'll be bringing you an update on this as we go. Okay, let's go take a look at the NFL. Second biggest weekend of the entire season coming up here in the NFL, and that's the AFC and the NFC championships. And both games this week will be played on Sunday, and they start off at 3 o'clock Eastern time with the NFC championship, with the two highest seeds in the conference, with the San Francisco 49ers going to Atlanta, and again, that'll be at 3 o'clock. Now, the 49ers are here because they knocked Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers out of contention last weekend, 45-31. And was there one reason? Well, in my mind, absolutely. And his name is Colin Kaepernick. And so much for many of us who have been second-guessing that decision to go with a second stringer. But what was the big difference? Well, it had to be his 181 yards rushing and two touchdowns. 181 yards. He was the leading rusher. 181 yards from a quarterback. Other than that, though, Kaepernick's performance, in my opinion, was pretty pedestrian. 17 of 31, 263 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. But I pointed out yesterday on Fan Junkies Radio, this really was an upside-down offensive game, with the 49ers racking up 323 yards on the ground and 263 yards in the air. In this kind of QB aerial-driven league, when was the last time you saw that happen? Seriously. But again, remove those 181 ground yards that Kaepernick had, and you know what you got? You got a Green Bay win, so keep that in mind. Now, the Falcons beat the Seahawks 30-28 in the final 30 seconds of the game with a 49-yard field goal from Matt Bryant with just 8 seconds remaining. This was a nail-biter, particularly for me, as I couldn't believe this. Atlanta took a 20-0 lead into the locker room at halftime, only to have the Seahawks put 28 points on the board in the second half. Matt Ryan ended up being a 24 of 35, 250 yards, three touchdowns, but he did have two interceptions. But look at the performances around him through, you know, Michael Turner, Jacquizz Rodgers, Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez. Now, I say all that, nonetheless, and even with all those weapons, Atlanta is a four-point underdog at home. Can you explain this one?
How is that possible? I can't. I mean, I even had to erase my Facebook post. Seahawks
scored
that touchdown. I'm like, it's done.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Falcons.
Yep.
And nope. I had to go and delete that.
Yep.
So, but, you know, that does have, you know, come into play because you had the Falcons give up 28 points. They almost blew that game.
Yes, they did.
The defense.
28-27, 30 seconds left.
You know, so, you know, you got San Francisco coming in. You know, we talked about it extensively last week about,
mm-hmm.
you know, Kaepernick being the X factor
mm-hmm.
in this game. But, you know, we've been hard on the Falcons all season.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, who have they beaten? They shut out the Giants. They've now beaten hung on to beat the Seahawks. I'm going to go with the Falcons. I think this is the Falcons' year.
The only way that San Francisco wins this game is if the Atlanta Falcons defense doesn't pay attention to Kaepernick, and I don't think that's going to happen. If they can get behind the line, if their defense can get behind the offensive line of San Fran and disrupt him, flush him out, move him around in the backfield and sack him a few times, guess what? You're going to stop seeing him run. That's going to be the key to it. I otherwise think that Atlanta's got way too many weapons, and frankly, I'm taking Atlanta on this game as well. I don't understand the four-point underdog. I really don't get that one. I'm taking Atlanta. Both of us got Atlanta on that one.
Of course, now we pick them to win a game, watch they'll lose.
Let's go take a look at the AFC Championship. We've got the Baltimore Ravens, who are going to go to New England, and that will be at 6:30 on Sunday. The Ravens were involved in a nail-biter of their own against the Denver Broncos. The game ended up being the fourth longest in NFL history, going to the 1 minute and 42 second mark of the second overtime before Justin Tucker nailed a 47-yard field goal to win the game 38-35. Joe Flacco ended the weekend with the best QB rating of any quarterback playing all weekend long. He was 18 of 34 for 331 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. He had 116.2 QB rating. Baltimore defense, boy, they put it to Peyton Manning. They sacked them three times, they picked them twice, and they knocked them around for another five additional times. Over on the other side, the Patriots dismantled the Houston Texans. Really not a surprise there, in my opinion, 41-28. Tom Terrific was 25 of 40, 344 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, and 115 QB rating. So pretty close there with our other one on the other side. The Pats are going to have to operate for the remainder of the playoffs without Rob Gronkowski, as he re-broke his arm early in the first quarter. But I've been saying it all week. The Pats have got so many weapons, they can overcome that one. I mean, I know Gronkowski's a loss, but, you know, it's not like they don't have replacements to come in.
It's not like Tom Brady going down.
Good point.
You know,
yeah.
Tom Brady goes down.
Then it's a completely different story. You're right.
Oh, no!
Well, that's right. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, listen, Gronk being out, the fact they can replace him, that's reflected in this line. The Patriots are a 9-point favorite. That opened up, I think, at 9.5, so it really hasn't moved. They're a 9-point favorite. You going with the upset on this one, Psychic?
How'd you know?
I just had a gut feeling, you know, just a little something, little bird told me.
That bird?
Yeah, that bird.
I'm making this my bomb, diggity bomb pick. You know, I think this is actually going to be a good game. They met once during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens were able to squeak out a field goal win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last weekend we talked extensively about stats and, you know, and everything like that. For me, it comes down to, I'm going with the Ravens, it comes down to the intangibles and that. You know, we talk about momentum. They're hungry. You know, they find ways. Yes, the game against Denver wasn't pretty. It went in two overtimes.
Right.
But they just keep grinding and grinding and grinding to get the win. I'm going with the Ravens. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think you're going to see this nine-point spread.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think.
And you know, the key for the Ravens is they got to repeat what they did due to Brady, what they did to Manning last week.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get to him and hit him. And then, you know, it's going to be a long day for Tom Brady.
There's no doubt about it that the Ravens are going to be playing for Ray Lewis. We saw a little bit of that last week. And I believe that the Baltimore defense will come into play, and I think that you're right. I don't think a 9-point spread is fair. I think it's going to be closer than that. But too many weapons. Too many weapons, and I think Flacco, look, it's not Tom Brady. All right? Flacco makes the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. That's a kiss of death right there. So, I got to go with the Patriots on this particular game. Patriots. And that might be the difference. That might tie us up going into the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You got a 1-point game on.
That'll tie us up, and from this point on, I'm sure we're not going to differ on much.
We may not. Since we're talking football, let's jump over real quick and take a look at our Frat House Facebook post of the week, and it was the most viewed and commented post, which was put up by Sidekick on just Wednesday, actually.
Yep.
When he indicated and made the announcement, he kind of beat me to the punch on it.
Well, I broke it for you because you were in the middle of the radio show.
I was doing a bunch of stuff at that particular time. Yes, the news came to me while I was on the air. I was a little bit devastated. That former Oregon Duck head coach Chip Kelly has become or was announced as the new surprising head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that post got the most comments. It got quite a few. And the most views.
Okay,
and those are great. Yeah, well, oh, gosh. I don't know. Do I want him back? Anyhow.
No, I'm not going to get into all that.
Great post. Those are the kinds of things we like to see right now during the NFL playoffs. All righty.
Choked up over that Chip Kelly.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of time to talk about Chip Kelly as we go forward, trust me. And I'll have much to say. All righty, let's run around and do our shout-outs here real quick. And that's Fan Junkies, where sports meets social networking. Get over there. Sign up. Hockey season is starting. That's a big time for them over there. I know they're going to have their chat rooms open as the hockey season kicks up on Saturday. It's free, completely free to join. It doesn't take but 3 minutes to sign up. So get over to fanjunkies.net. Fan Junkies Radio is just going incredibly. We've got more guests lined up. We got one tomorrow. And Fred House Sports is airing over there every Saturday afternoon over on Blog Talk Radio on Fan Junkies Radio. We'll be broadcasting every Saturday afternoon on at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Yep. We rebroadcast the show. It's getting great hits over there too.
And that's an interactive experience.
It is, because I hang on and I'll take phone calls from anybody that listens to the rebroadcast of the show. Herb FM Sports down in Baltimore, Maryland area. Check them out. I am told we will be broadcasting now regularly every Friday night, I believe at 8 o'clock. But check their schedule.
That's great news.
HerbFM.com. Get over there, check that out. And I was told by my buddy Chris Seidel that we will be regular on Friday. Frat House Sports, I'm working on right now no less than about 4 articles that I'm juggling all at once.
Yep.
It's been a crazy, crazy week. working on no less than about four articles, so we're going to have some new content up on there as well.
And we're going to we'll tease it again. We're still trying to work out the details.
Yeah.
But you may see something from Sidekick.
There you go.
Popping up on the sports page.
Sidekick's going to have some contributions.
So you're going to...
Real personal stuff, too. You want to check it out. Now, next week, if you notice, I've been talking 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now. Next week, here's what we're going to do. You might recall way back about 22 weeks ago, I think it was episode number 50, we did a preseason football roundtable. It was right out on the back deck here at the frat house.
Yep.
And we talked nothing but football, NFL football. We had a panel here. We had about four people. And we just talked preseason football. We're going to do the same thing next week because we're going to be in between the championships and the Super Bowl. There will be no NFL action next week. So we thought what we would do, we're going to reconvene a panel. We're going to pull them right here in the room. We're going to talk NFL topics. That's going to be it. The whole show will be NFL. And we're going to do it in a very different sort of way. So you're going to want to make sure that you are here for that one.
We're going to ring the bell and take the gloves off.
You've got it. You've got it. That was a great show, number 50. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. All right, in the meantime, you know what you got to do. You got to keep us real, you got to keep us live, you got to keep us going. Be here for that roundtable next week. See you then.
All right, so there you heard it. That was 5 minutes at the Pratt House, number 72. And you really need to do yourself a favor and go over and actually see the video. And again, the way to do that, two ways, go to YouTube, type in 5 minutes at the Pratt House, and you will find it. It's number 72. Or probably the easier way to do it, just go to our website, which is FratHouseSports.net, and I made sure that the most recent edition, this one, number 72, I made sure that it was up there as of this morning. All right, so let's see. For those of you that are following the NHL right now, I'll give you a quick rundown on the scores. Right now, the Blackhawks have a 1-0 lead over the Los Angeles Kings, and it looks like there's about 9:45 left in the first period on that one. The Senators are losing right now to the Jets. The Jets have a 1-0 lead there, and there's about 13 minutes left in the first period. And the Penguins currently have a 1-0 lead on the Flyers, and that game is right now about just started, really. That one only about 4 minutes into the first period on there. I suspect that with the shortened season and with the fact that they, in fact, had a very, very, very abbreviated training camp, if you even want to call it that. It was about a week long. I'm going to suspect that for the first at least good 2 weeks or so, we're going to see some sloppy play. We're going to see some lax goaltending. I have a sneaky suspicion you're going to see some high-scoring games as a result of that. And, listen, I guess for those offensive-minded folks out there who like hockey that way, that won't come as a disappointment. For me, I like a more defensive game. I'm a little more old school. I'll like it a little bit better probably in about 3 weeks when they really start to, I guess, get their legs and get a little more comfortable with the kind of schedule that they're running, which, as I pointed out early on, when you're playing 48 games in 99 days, you're playing just about every other day. Every other day is what you're coming in at. Alrighty, I got a I'm going to call her here. I've got a caller here, which I'm going to go to in 1 second. But for anybody else, if there's anything that you heard during the course of the show, something perhaps maybe you'd like to chat about with the 10 minutes or so that we have left, please jump in. Give me a holler, 347-237-5373. But let me take who I've got here from the 732 area code. Already, go ahead.
Hey, brother. Yeah, listen,
all
I just
right,
wanted to give you a shout-out. Yesterday on Fan Junkies Radio, you and Jonathan discussing the NHL. And, of course, you put it out there. You're trying to do a little bit of unscientific research. You want to know why it is the fans are the way they are in that sport, let's say, as compared to other major sports. And you got a great call from Joey from the Bronx. And I just wanted to echo his point, and I think he hit it spot on. And that is the relationship with the NHL and the fans is really less about the league and more about a love of the players and a feeling from those players that they are reachable. They appreciate the fans. And in Joey's words, they don't look down on the fans. They really, really, really personally connect with the fans more so perhaps than NFL, NBA, MLB, who seem to be somewhat, you know, up on a platform, up on a stage. You can look at them from down, but they look down on you, if you get what I'm saying. And I think that's a very, very good thing, very good point, and something maybe you could angle on in your research, because I think he drove that point home. And it is part of the reason why everybody who likes NHL feels torn somewhat about going back to it. Or have I really been slapped down?
Well,
just,
yeah, but let
just
me ask,
wanted to share that with you. I think that was a great point.
Let me ask you a question, though, Mark. I mean, do you believe or do you feel, do you get that kind of feeling? Now, I know that you're a Philadelphia guy who was transplanted up to northern New Jersey. Do you get that kind of feeling from your people up there, from your players, I guess, in the New Jersey Devil, wearing that New Jersey Devil uniform? I'm not sure if I necessarily buy into that whole concept. I would agree with you that they don't come off, that the players don't come off as egotistical, perhaps, maybe as what we've seen in Major League Baseball or even in the NFL at times. But I think in Philadelphia, I think the difference here really goes back to history. I'm not sure if it's really necessarily a feeling of connection, as it is more just the history of what we have in Philadelphia. Give me an example where you think that the connection that you're talking about, that you've necessarily seen it or felt it from that northern New Jersey area.
I see I've seen probably three or four instances where New Jersey Devils, be they former or current players, take an active part in community outreach, showing up at some small events simply to help promote a worthy cause. And I'm not talking United Way, and I'm not talking a national platform of charitable giving or that sort of thing. I think there is something to be said for the fact that maybe New Jersey is not the best example, because you want to talk about a small market team, questions of viability. Will they transplant anyway to another market? Because, you know, there's arguably not a great fan base here. But I think by virtue of the fact that the players realize they are the fourth sport, they're trying to grow their product. There is, I believe, a real sense of kinship to the fans. In other words, fans have grown up playing the sport, unlike maybe football. You only play it to a certain point. You don't go on. Maybe NBA, you don't have the natural ability. Maybe MLB, you'll never make it to the big stage. But actually, you can see young hockey players, and we've seen them growing up. We were ourselves young hockey players. And we followed that sport from the playing days all the way into adulthood, and many have had the good fortune then to step onto the big rink ice. And I think they never forget that. And I don't know, it's an intangible, it's a gut, it's a feeling of kinship, and I think it actually does exist. And again, I don't think it's a love of the league per se, but I think there is an absolute connection of the fan base to players. Down there in Philadelphia area, they're loving your Claude Giroux for making it as your captain. That same announcement could go any of the other three major sports, and I don't think you're going to have necessarily that kind of love. A lot of people would sit back and say, oh, so-and-so is captain of the football team. Well, that's great. I guess they needed one. But down there, and I'm getting the posts and I'm reading them, people are loving this. People are loving that there's captains being named, and they're feeling a personal connection, a feeling of pride to that player or that team. Again, not the league, but the team.
I concur with you that the hockey player, okay, that athlete, I would agree with you, is a little more, at least there appears to be at least a little bit more outward approachability, let's put it that way, than you would find in other sports. I think you're right on when you say, okay, it's because it has a lot to do with the fact that they're the fourth sport in the nation. Because when, having been around NASCAR, having been around NHRA, and also MLS, which are all also considered to be kind of minor sports, what you see the same kinds of dynamic there from the drivers of those cars, from the players in the on MLS, you see the same kind of dynamic where they are much more public relations conscious about making sure that they have that open relationship with their fan bases. And so I think you're on to something there. I think Philadelphia is a unique market. We talked a little bit about it on Fan Junkies Radio this week from the standpoint that, my gosh, the Flyers hold an open practice at the Wells Fargo, and they sell the darn thing out with 18,000 people showing up. No other team did that in the entire league. So I think the Philadelphia fan base is a little bit different, a little more unique. I think a lot of it is tied into the history. Yes, I agree with you. We do have a tendency to get caught up in our Giroux's and our Lindros's over the years and our Bobby Clark's. We have a tendency to get wrapped up in that, but I really think it has more to do with the history.
Well, that may be so. Yeah, you hit a good one there with NHRA. You know firsthand, you can go down to Dover. You can meet, John Capps, racing the team. You can meet members. You can meet drivers. They come right up to you. They'll stand. They'll shake your hand. They'll snap a photo. And that's the connection that's electric. On the bigger stage and the bigger platforms of the mass market sporting events, MLB, NBA, you can watch it at home and feel as connected or as disconnected as if you go and watch it live.
Sure.
But there's something about the live performance. You're right. Perhaps NASCAR, certainly NHRA, I think NHL. When you go there and you connect in that seat, it's intimate. There is something intimate about that, and you have a feeling as a fan. I'll speak for myself. I have a feeling as a fan watching that they are performing and doing their best
for you.
Me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's why they're there. They're not there for the NHL Shield per se. They are there because if they look up in the house and say, damn, we almost sold out. Maybe we'll sell out tomorrow night. Hopefully word of mouth. And I believe there's something about that. Maybe it's just because it's a fourth sport and it's struggling. Maybe it's just the genesis of the player. I'm not sure. But again, I think you're right. Motorsports kind of shares that same philosophy that every fan matters. And we're going to reach personally out and shake hands to as many as we can. I don't think the bigger stage platforms of sporting event really care so much about that because, well, they're on the bigger stage.
All right.
Watch us from home.
Great comments. Great comments and great observations, Mark. I appreciate you calling in this week. I only got about a minute left, so I got to wrap up.
All right, dude. All right. You're good.
You take care.
You too.
All righty. There you go. There's another one in the can for us. Another Frat House Saturday wrapping up here on Fan Junkies Radio. Make sure you tune in to Jonathan and I every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12 noon Eastern time for our regular Fan Junkies Radio program. And be back with me here next Saturday at 3 p.m., and I'll be bringing you another 5 minutes at the Frat House. Until then, you know what you got to do. You got to keep us real. You got to keep us live, and you got to keep us going. See you next week.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.